Podtacular
episode
383
Man
versus
Demon
for
July
19, 2013.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and today we are Britless, as we are recording on Friday, and I'm not exactly sure where he is at the moment, but not to fear, we have some special guests on board with us today to kind of give us a different aspect into the first-person realm of gaming, and they come over from our new friends over at the podcast. They're from Critzcast. Starting off with Agro, the Pyro.
Hello, buddy. As you said there, my name is Agro. I am a Pyro, and I normally at this sort of stage in the show describe what I'm drinking, but apparently yours is a family show, so I'm going to pretend I'm drinking water. But very nice to have you, for someone to be having someone else alarmed.
There's so much having of people there on other shows.
Well, you started off by saying that we're Britless, and I'm like, there's two Brits here. What are you on about?
Oh man, that was going to be my
Brent.
Gag.
Spoiled, beaten.
Now, Brit is our normal co-host, and he's not here.
That's a shame.
So, but yes, Ian, you just heard our second guest. He also comes from the land of TF2-ness from Critzcast. He is Rescue-Doo, the Gentleman Heavy.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. How are you going? How are you going? That's not a phrase,
it's
is it?
Weird.
How are you doing, or how is it going?
And we are off to a dashing start.
Well, this is the first
time. Let me describe the situation here in England right now.
Go on.
It's swelteringly hot in the middle of a heat wave. And the English, we're not used to this kind of thing. We have no defense mechanism to cope with this.
Yeah.
Thus, we just go mad. Like, the roads are congested with people going crazy and raging because they're just not used to the heat. It's boiling their brains.
You know what it feels like when your air conditioning fails?
Yes, well, actually I do.
Nobody in England anywhere has air conditioning. The only place you get air conditioning is at work. So people are actually volunteering to go into work so that they can be slightly less warm than they actually are. It's ridiculous. It is the most mind-melting experience I've ever had, and it's lasted for about 3 weeks.
The country just goes mad when this happens.
That cannot be possible. People volunteering for work? Madness.
Yes.
Exactly.
But I was trying to say, you're taking my podcasting virginity in a certain light here. This is the first time I've actually been a guest for someone else.
I'm uncomfortable now. Shall I just leave? No, carry on.
The third party.
Well, Rusky, since this is your first time, we have a couple of things to tell you.
Okay.
Well, somehow we probably should have covered this in the pre-show. Nonetheless.
The pre-show, otherwise known as foreplay. Wait, we're getting off the family show. Man, I'm so bad at this family show thing. We should explain. Critzcast is
not
a blue show, despite our colour being orange, if you see what I mean.
It's a red and blue show, technically.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
We got more of the blue on our side.
Mm.
But yes. So these two fine gentlemen are from a podcast known as Critzcast. As you guys know, we were invited to be on the podcast network, which is run by the folks over at Critzcast, and we are very happy to be on board with them. Really happy to be with the network. We were with another network in the past when podcasting was just coming out, but that's since kind of dissolved, and we're happy to be part of this new network, and you guys are definitely awesome. You're one of the better podcasts I've listened to, if not one of the best.
TF2
is a fantastic
game.
Okay,
I'll sleep with you.
Keep going. Keep going. More compliments, please.
So, to start some things off, of course, we need an introduction of what Critzcast is for everyone on Podtacular that's listening, that's a little more into the Halo aspect of first-person shooters than PC shooters. But give us a rundown of what Critzcast is, and heck, what is TF2? Since you guys are kind of the experts on it.
I was going to say, Will, if you want to cover what TF2 is, I'll jump in at the end with what Critzcast is.
Oh, God, what is TF2? Okay, so TF2 is a multiplayer online shoot 'em up. There's no one-player component to it whatsoever. It used to be all team versus team, as in you get 12 people in a server versus 12 people in a server. So that's 24 people in a server. Mm. Or, 36 people in a server when people modded it, because then it gets even more crazy. But TF2 has just evolved so much since that original conception that now there is kind of a co-op versus the computer mode, which is man versus machine, where you get together with five of your mates and you play against endless robot hordes trying to kill you. God, I don't think without an hour-long time slot I could begin to explain what Team Fortress 2 is in its entirety. There's just so much there.
Just go into the basics, like go into the classes, go into the different game modes, and
okay, sure.
So the different kind of maps that there are for
TF2. TF2 is a class-based shooter. You've got 9 classes. You've got the spy. Oh god, this is going to be difficult. I always get them wrong. Spy, yeah. Sniper, heavy, soldier, demoman, scout, pyro, NG.
How many was that? I wasn't counting.
Did I say heavy?
Did you say medic?
Medic.
I think you missed medic.
Good call, medic.
Medic.
Okay.
Medic. And the mysterious 10th class that we have no idea what it is.
Strippers.
Strippers. So, yeah. And each class pretty much does exactly what it says it should do. Hmm. Medics, heal folk, heavy weapons guys are big and slow, but with lots of gun. Spies do sneaky stuff. They can turn invisible and stab folk. Snipers snipe. Scouts run around really fast and shoot people. Soldiers have bazookas and can rocket jump and are kind of quite punchy, quite mobile. Then you got the demo man, who is the demolitions expert, has sticky bombs, which are like timed mines. You can throw them out and then explode them. So he's another explosive class. Then you've got the... What have I missed? God, I'm going back
pyro.
The other way
pyro.
Now.
You can't miss pyro.
He burns stuff. That's you know, obvious.
Pyromaniac.
Is that 9? I don't even know. Yeah. Anyway, those classes, they NG, he can build sentry guns and dispensers which heal the rest of your team, and teleporters which move your team around the place. And so in terms of combat in TF2, you've got the usual things of capture the flag, then you have control points, where you know you're fighting through control points that you have to stand on to capture. Then you've got attack and defend, which is kind of like control point, but only going one way. Then you get into the more kind of weird TF2 specific stuff, payload, where you have a bomb cart, which one team is trying to push to a destination to explode, and the other team is trying to defend. Then you've also got other variations like arena mode, which is kind of like Counter-Strike, where everyone spawns and there's no respawning. You play out a round, and when people die, they don't die for good. They're still there at their computer, alive, hopefully. Maybe not, though, in some cases. You know, it might be too exciting. Don't know. So there's arena mode. Then there's also... what else is there? Here's
about
the thing.
MVM as well, so there's
there's MVM, which is that. But then there's like loads of other people have taken it to really weird directions. Like there's a thriving Team Fortress 2 jump scene where it's all about they make these bizarre maps which you can't traverse unless you can do like
rocket jumps or
very complex
jumps.
Maneuvers to multiply explode yourself in midair to get to certain places. Then these days, there's some people who play TF2 who don't ever play TF2, and this is like where my mind just gets blown. The traders who just enjoy the trading scene in TF2, like exchanging items for real world money and other in-game items, and they just want to get an unusual hat to stand in trade servers while wearing this unusual hat to get a better unusual hat. So Valve also really they really encourage their modding scene. So your map makers, they're now making money. You can buy hat stamps where if you make a map that is then implemented by Valve because it's good enough and it's popular enough, then people can buy stamps and they get this special hat called the World Traveler hat. And the more stamps they've bought of a map they particularly like, the more like particles of stamps they have flowing off their hat. And you can also buy strange parts for guns that renames your guns and will count how many kills you have on a particular map, and that money gets back to the map makers. And then Valve also want to get money to the item makers, people who can make hats and stuff. They have this thriving workshop scene, so the modding scene for TF2 is just so bustling. There's so many people contributing items, because if it makes it into game, you get given 25% of the money that Valve makes off your item, which turns out to be a pretty good amount.
Something you know a fair bit about yourself, Rusky?
Yep. TF2 indeed is now my day job, which is a bizarre thing to say. You know, that I've, you know, I've always been freelance doing various different types of work, but now, you know, TF2 is my main earner, which is bizarre. Very strange.
Similar to how, at least for on the Halo side, people do a lot of stuff on YouTube for Halo.
Yes.
Yeah, they still got people doing YouTube stuff for Team Fortress 2. I mean, it's not similar. It's that there is another string to the bow of connectivity. So people will always do, there's guys like Shibby and Jerma and
Stabby Stabby,
who not necessarily making a fortune, not making a living. Although I think now that I'm thinking about it, maybe Shibby does.
How many people the Machinima do you have to guys? Get? To, you know, make a living. Because, I mean, Stabby Stabby's regularly pulling in 1,000 people on Twitch.
Yeah.
To watch him stabbing people, which is...
You need to have, like, 100,000 subscribers before you can start to consider maybe giving up your day job. Depends on where you are in life, though. I mean, if you're a teenager living at home, then you can make a substantial amount of money if you're not paying rent.
Yes.
And probably not paying the tax man a great deal of money either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you can make a very good career out of just doing YouTube-y stuff.
It's interesting that you bring up a lot of the creative, like the workshop stuff, because one of the big aspects from Halo is a lot of the forging elements that people can go in and make their own maps. And there's people that go in and do fancy artwork. There's people that go and make fun custom games, trying to see what you can actually do with the game types in there. There's actually, this is news for everyone, especially for Halo. There's a mod that came out recently. Someone released a race game type actually for Halo, and it's now possible to do Halo in or race in Halo 4 now. So,
oh wow,
it seems overdue. I mean, the amount of fun you can have with those buggies, the kind of the self-writing, I'll never flip over and explode buggies. Just seems like insane amounts of awesome.
So it was actually a default option in Reach, but now there's a group out there, and I guess it's dependent really on how the architecture of Halo 4 was built, because the elements in there are kind of already supported by the game, but they're not implemented. So someone was able to go and actually find the stuff to make the modded game type. And it's now available for people to download. It's not officially supported yet, but it is there for people to go download, create racetrack maps, and then actually implement.
So does it look like they were kind of leftovers, like the design team considered implementing something like this, and then we're like, oh, we're not going to do it in the final game, but are there leftovers in there of that?
It seems like there are some leftovers, and there are some things that they can, based on current systems within Halo, they can just kind of extend them and then create additional things. And that's where this race type kind of came out of, was some of the stuff that you can do with some of the current game modes in there. And they created some new tags, some new icons, and other game operation elements into this game variant, and then basically brought it back into Halo.
Hmm.
And a lot of people do this by use of dev kits.
Yes.
So there's a few big modders out there going around and trying to find these ways to make new game types, bring new functionality back into Halo. And this is one of the ones, while it's not officially supported by 343 yet, it is one of the things that they're really interested in actually getting out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think for any game, like, the modding scene is just so, it's integral to keeping a game alive. I mean, look at, say, Just Cause 2, or in fact, just to, like, some really popular ones, like, DayZ. Like, look at that. That's purely from a modding scene. And developers went, oh my God, we should just get onto this. I mean, this is basically Valve's business model right now. They, like, grab a team who've done a very successful mod and then go, hey, would you like to make the sequel to your mod with a load of extra money, and let's make lots of money together? Yeah. And it seems to be working
pretty
well.
That's Dota,
right?
2. Yeah. That's Team Fortress 2. That's even games like Portal, which are really just a couple of students doing a kind of a muck around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So extraordinary things.
There's lots of different things out there. And I know, Agro, you said before the show that you mostly play Halo between Halo 1 and Halo 2. I don't know how much of that was done on the PC, but the Halo PC modding community is still going very, very strong, and they come out with tons of new maps, weapons, models, and that kind of stuff.
Kind of a surprise
during the summertime.
I mean, I stopped playing Halo 2. I kind of gave up in a huff In pretty much the same way that I gave up in a huff on Halo 1. But it's funny, really, because there's so much about Halo that is a beautiful story. Like, the visuals for it are incredible. The backstory for it is incredible. I was talking before the show got started about the wiki that I spent sort of an hour plus reading through the wiki. That there is so much description, there is so much going on in the world of Halo that I feel that I don't have to play the games to be a part of it. You can just watch the YouTube stuff. You can just read the books or listen to the music and just feel that let it wash over you.
Yeah, I mean, for my personal experience, I've played Halo round at friends' houses, and so I've played maybe 2 hours tops in my entire life. But I've had a lot of experience of Halo through things like back in the day, I was hooked on Red versus Blue. That was like the first McKinima that I ever I didn't know McKinimas existed, and I saw this thing. And I'm like, oh my god, this is hilarious! They have this constantly evolving story, and they keep bringing in these new elements, and it's just like a series. It's amazing. But then, again, with the community stuff, there was, and you'll probably know a lot more about this, Dustin, than me, but it was something about people trying to explode a warthog onto the top of a bloody big tower, and it being really impossible for years, and then someone managing to get the shot to land the warthog up there. Does that make any sense at all?
I hope you're not looking at me, because I have no idea what you're on about.
I've got to find a video of this. Warthog. Please. Exploding. Is anyone in chat? Does you know what I'm talking about? Am I just chatting rubbish? I'm getting sure so, rusty.
I think I know what the mission you're talking about, actually. It's called Warthog Jump. And it was one of the first missions that was actually kind of the inspiration behind Red versus Blue.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Warthog Jump is the one you're looking for. I'll look it up real quick. There were quite a few videos of people doing that. And for everyone on the live stream, I'm pulling it up now. So
there was there was a story about it where people thought it was impossible for a couple of years or so, and someone went back to retrying to get this particular warthog shot, but then someone else started trying as well. So there's this competition between two people trying to do this previously thought to be impossible task, and it just created this very evocative, interesting story that anyone could relate to. They didn't have to know a damn thing about the game. It was about people trying to do something interesting.
Yeah, so it's definitely one of the kind of the inspirational videos, I think, behind a lot of Machinima is this video in particular. Probably one of the first ones, really. I think it even got some credit recognition in future Halo games. So,
well, they just kind of referenced it in some way.
I'm actually watching something on Daily Motion at the moment called Warthog Jump, and it seems to be that sort of thing. The idea.
I think
of
it's the
flipping.
Same. I have it in the Twitch stream too. Yeah.
Yep. It is the same thing. It was attributed in the Daily Motion one that I was looking to a guy called Randall
Glass.
Randall Glass, who we interviewed.
Really? Oh, you did?
Yeah, we interviewed him because we had like a little 5-minute interview with him because he did Scout versus Witch in August 2012, which was the TF2 Scout.
That was that going amazing up against Source filmmaker video.
Yeah, the Left 4 Dead Witch. It was very absolutely incredible. Let me see if I can find the interview we did with him.
It's a small world.
It really is. I mean, you just see the skills that go into making something funny or making something beautiful are transferable between game types. There's no reason why you have to stay in one particular solution for the rest of your life.
Right. So, all right. Well, let's get on to some Halo stuff. We got some bulletin update stuff. So this is where I'm going to be doing the most talking, I guess.
Yep. We'll be sitting quietly.
Feel free to chime in. Feel free to chime in, guys, if anything.
I will display my ignorance and be like, I don't understand what that means.
What's going on?
I got a rant on Halo next time on your podcast.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, man.
So for the Halo Bulletin, we got, of course, 343 being at San Diego Comic-Con this week. Yesterday, we're actually recording this on Friday. So on Thursday, they had their Inside the Looking Glass Building Halo World Wonders Past, Present, and Future panel. And that... I haven't seen anything yet from the panel, but it was basically going into what they're doing behind the Spartan Assault game, which actually came out yesterday. And the new comic from Dark Horse Comics, Halo Initiation, which is going through the start of the Halo, or not Halo, the Spartan 4 program, which includes Spartan Palmer. So we have those things coming out, or we have the Halo Initiation coming out in a few weeks. I believe it's August 4th. I can't remember when exactly it was. I'll pull it up here in a second. But Spartan Assault is out, so I know some people have been already playing it from what I've seen on Twitter. So
apparently, in order to play Spartan Assault, you need a Windows 8 PC.
Or a Windows 8 phone, or a Windows 8 tablet.
So that's not me. I have got a Windows 7 machine that I had running for a very long time. Thank you very much, Microsoft. I've really enjoyed my operating systems. Windows 7 did a good job. Windows 8, not so much. Everyone I know who has it hates it. So
this is another, I mean, we said this on our show before, but this is definitely another ploy to kind of push a product that isn't doing very well. I believe Windows 8 actually had a lower adoption rate than Windows Vista had.
Wow, that's brutal.
Wow, that's incredibly low.
It was bad. It was really bad.
The thing is that Windows 7 is a recognized good operating system. So it's why would people do the, and I'm using air quotes here, unfortunately, upgrade to Windows 8 when they have a Windows 7 system that works exactly the way they want it to?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was one of those things that it rubbed people the wrong way, to be perfectly honest. And there's a lot of backlash to even having it just on Xbox Arcade.
Really?
So
a lot of people want to see it exclusively Windows 8.
So it's an app.
Okay.
You have to download it through the marketplace. And the only way to get access to the marketplace is via a Windows 8 phone or tablet or a PC.
Huh. Didn't they do this with like the Vista thing when you could only play one of the versions?
For Halo 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, you they had did to Halo 2 Vista.
And you could work around it by, at the time I had Vista, so I didn't really care. But you could work around it. If you could play it on your XP, but you couldn't play the multiplayer components or something. You could hack it.
Right.
So I'm assuming at some stage somebody's going to hack this and allow it so you can play the single player on your PC. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, just shooting yourself in the foot at this point.
It's one of those things that just it has the community up in a hizzy right now. And they're supposed to be adding in controller support for Windows 8 PC platforms. So people are asking and begging for it to be put on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Absolutely.
Because of how simple it is. It's again, a Microsoft ploy to push Windows 8, which is stupid in my opinion.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's to everybody, to all of the consumers, to all of the users, it makes perfect sense to go the easy solution. Why try and push it on? But it's part of, as you say, Microsoft's campaign. And as such, I don't think they're going to waver on it. Although, considering what a complete 180 they did at E3, maybe a bit of consumer pressure is what it takes to make them change their mind.
Maybe. Well, so we'll see what happens.
Bit of consumer pressure. That was
everybody in the entire sodding world. Yeah.
Oh, I totally swore. Well,
you guys know that there's a petition to revert that decision.
Really?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there was always going to be one. Well, okay, so, I mean, Microsoft were doing some very kind of forward-thinking moves there. There's an argument that says, well, you know, that stuff's going to happen down the line anyway. Because the whole, like, having physical copies of games and going to stores to buy them, it's, you know, I don't know. As a PC gamer who buys all my games digitally, it does look a bit like, you know, people sitting in a cave banging rocks together. Like, seriously, you want me to go out to a store and buy a game when I can just click here and have it in front of me within like 10 minutes?
Yep.
Madness, I say.
Exactly. And it's starting to slowly move to that kind of market for consoles. It's a little bit slower than the PC, and consoles have always been slower than PC at kind of catching up with technology.
Everything. Graphics, CPU.
Well, and that, well, I mean, consoles you only get updated every so often. With PCs, you can be constantly upgrading. So, but again, it's something that we'll have to see down the road if it gets
implemented on Xbox Live Arcade, or if not,
Like Wesker says, I think it's just something that's going to happen. Whether or not it's a stealth occurrence, or whether it's a real occurrence that happens on launch day, it will happen. That they will have their way. It's just going to be a matter of setting expectations and then changing their mind.
I mean, Microsoft's in the business of making money. If they want to make money, then they're going to be smart enough to go ahead and release it on arcade.
Yep.
I think. And if they don't, if they're going to make a bonehead decision, then, well, they already made one, I think, in my opinion, of reverting what they said. So, it is possible.
Anyway, sorry, I distracted you again from the onslaught.
No. That was perfect. That was
valid, was it?
That was right in line with what we're talking about, yeah.
That reminds me of a thing with Team Fortress 2 that I should not know.
No. You already had your 40 minutes of glory.
All right, fair enough.
Also at SDCC, which now I'm kind of pissed that I'm not there, is they have some collectible pins. They're all in the bulletin. If you're on the stream right now, you're looking at it. Some pretty cool skins from all the... I think most of these are pre-release ones, and then there's some other ones in there that are kind of the most popular. There's a Spartan Palmer helmet. There's a Recruit helmet. There's a Recon helmet. And then there's some Halo 4 and a Halo Spartan Assault pin. So
Tempest really likes pins, but I've never seen the joy in collecting.
Get close to the mic.
I've never seen the joy of collecting sort of, I think we call them in England, buttons. Is that correct?
Yeah, pins, buttons.
Pins, yeah. I've never really seen the joy in collecting them, but it's one of those, to be honest, if they are that shape, the shape of the helmets, then I can kind of see them being actually kind of cute and, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's how they are.
All right. Fair play.
So,
bit of money put into it then.
Yep. So there's the pins, which again, I would like to get my hand on a set of those if it was possible. They're giving those away. Of course, if you're there, if you're somehow listening to this while you're at Comic-Con, they're giving those away at the Xbox Lounge. So go ahead and go over and grab some. There's the Halo 4 Global Championships. Of course, that started this week. So if you guys have been living under a rock, make sure you go over and register. If you go to Halo Waypoint, there is a link at the top, and you go straight to the Global Championship. Register. There are some states where it is not, you can't register to be in. I think Maryland, Tennessee, Arizona.
Sorry, by Global Championship, is this another one of those Americanisms for what the globe consists of, North America?
No, this is actually if you can get to Xbox Live, you can participate.
Right. So North America.
What kind of format?
Well, UK. So they're actually one of the things that they're doing for this tournament. There's going to be a round at Gamescom, which is in Germany, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the qualifiers Gamescom is also going to be if you place in the top four of any week, you get an all-expense-paid trip to the finals, no matter where you live. So you could be in Australia, you can be in Africa, you can be in the UK. Yeah.
What kind of format does that global championship take? Is it teams?
It's free-for-all.
It's free-for-all, so it's individuals.
Correct. So it's eight players in one room, and this first week it's Legendary Slayer. So for the guys on here that aren't Halo specific, a Legendary Slayer is you can choose your own weapons on your loadout. So you have a primary weapon, which is a rifle, and a secondary weapon, which is a pistol of some kind. And then you can choose what kind of grenade you start with, and all your armor mods and armor abilities you can choose. And that's just the first week of competition. And every week they have a different game mode playing. So kind of leading into the next thing on the bulletin front is next week is going to be Rumble SWAT. So you have three different game types in there. You have regular SWAT, which consists of a BR-DMR start combination with Magnum as your secondary. Second one is Rumble SWAT BRs, which is BRs only, and then SWAT rifles, which is DMR, battle rifle, carbine, and light rifle decisions.
So in order for you to be placed, then you actually... As an individual, you have to be very good.
Yes.
There's no sort of riding the roster. There's no kind of being mediocre within the team.
What if you get like lucky and get in groups with a load of chumps, essentially, who you can, slaughter? easily. Does that help? I imagine it would.
So that happens every once in a while, but the way that the championship ladder works is you get a point, you get awarded points per game that you perform in. You have to have at least 20 games under your belt per week to qualify.
Okay, right. So,
yep.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this basically just kind of keeps count of all, you'll play like official games. So is it just like logging on to play a regular game, except, you know, you'll have these stipulations of what weapons you should use, and then you just kind of go for it?
There's a certain playlist specifically for the championship.
Mm.
So you go into the playlist, you play your game.
Okay.
And then based on how well you do, you get basically graded.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
So
that's quite sweet then.
Yep. So, of course, the top four from each week go on to the finals, which is going to be held during PAX Prime. So you get an all-expense-paid trip, so you get flights, you get hotel, all that stuff paid for if you're selected to go. So
PAX
that's pretty
Prime,
cool.
Of course, being the one in Seattle.
Correct.
Home of Valve Software.
Yes.
So, real self.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to try and bait this back onto Team Fortress 2 in any way whatsoever.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So, for everyone that is wondering what happens to some of the other prizes that they're giving away, there are some weekly prizes that they're handing out. So for this first week, there are 750 Nike Plus Connect training games that will be handed out as a weekly prize, 750 Avatar War Master Armor, and 750 Avatar Flood Armor. So there are weekly prizes per each week for this contest. Next week for the SWAT, for the SWAT week, the weekly prizes are Fable of the Journey, 750 copies of those will be handed out. The Avatar War Master Armor, again, 750 of those. And then the Didact Armor for your Avatar, 750 of those as well.
Sweet.
So, play your games. Even if you think that you're not going to even get anywhere remotely near the top four, like myself, definitely go in and play your games. Make sure you get at least 20 in. Because you do have a chance to win one of the weekly prizes. So you just have to get in there, play your 20 games, and you're automatically entered in to get one of those prizes.
That's quite sweet.
So
you don't actually necessarily need to be the best in the world. You just need to play some more.
Correct.
Nice.
So there are... with the Halo scene, is there a kind of almost like a distinction between the competitive scene and the casual scene? Or through things like this, do you kind of just get lots of people who just play casual who'll then, you know, just take up some comp because it's easy. You just kind of log on and do it.
There is a pretty distinct difference between the casual and the competitive scene. There are a lot of people that play on the competitive level that really don't engage in the competitive communities as much. And then it's those kind of people that come out and surprise everybody by doing really well. So you have people like in the top 10 from when this currently was pulled for the bulletin, you have people like a Wet Image, which is I don't recognize his name, so I don't think he's a pro, but you have people up in the top of the ranks that are not known as pro players doing really well in the brackets.
Okay, that's cool.
So it's definitely, there is definitely a distinct difference between competitive communities and casual communities, but there is a little bit more, not necessarily underground, but a lot of people that can play on the competitive level that just don't get involved with the competitive scene.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I'm assuming something similar would be TF2, where it's like you have other leagues or groups that just go in and play like hardcore that just aren't really that out there. I think every game probably has that in some aspect.
In TF2, like I'd say one of the bad things about TF2 is that there's this real boundary between the comp scene and the pub scene, public service scene. In that, if you want to get into the comp scene, it's very elitist. Because the comp scene plays quite a different game to how the regular TF2 community plays Team Fortress 2, you have to kind of like learn a lot of rules, and it's quite excluding in a way, which is a real shame. Like, I mean, this looks amazing to me. It seems that like anyone who wants to take part can just sign up and do their thing, and yeah, if they're good enough, then it'll happen.
Right. One of the people that was actually at RTX, someone just linked to this in the chat, but one of our good friends for the podcast, Halo Fan for Life, did an interview with one of those random people that aren't part of the competitive community, but did really well in this tournament. He goes by the name of Toxic Nate, and he did really well in the division. So you have these people that just come up just out of pretty much nowhere, but are really good at the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
He looks jolly happy as well with his UNSC
lunchbox.
Lunchbox.
You can fit a lot of sandwiches in that.
What is in that box? I'm just so intrigued.
That's a Vanguard Games case. So it's basically like a portable gaming station. It has a 19-inch monitor in there with headphone outlets and the place where you can put your Xbox and carry it around with you. Yep.
Those things are amazing. I've seen them. They're like, oh my God, that's awesome. It's like those people who like mod old games consoles to be portable, but you know, done up in an awesome fashion.
Right.
Okay, now I'm jealous.
Yeah, totally.
If only I could play Halo or any kind of console game. I'm really bad at console games.
So, of course, this kind of championship does give the opportunity for some people to kind of rise out of the ashes a little bit, but there is a heavy presence of Halo pros still in this competition, so they're dominating the boards as well.
Do you get the same names each year winning the same stuff? Is it sort of always a top three kind of thing?
Yeah, there's usually like a top four, five, six teams that are kind of in the running every year for the competitive side of Halo. And this year it's been really ridiculous because there's been so many tradings between teams, it's been hard to keep up with.
Oh, between, as in players moving from one team to another, but staying within the same sort of professional
league.
Well, league, yeah.
Can I just point out something? You know how we know this Toxic Nate guy is serious? He's wearing a fingerless glove, but only on one hand. I bet that's he's like, yeah, man, this helps my shooting fingers.
Is that his left hand?
Yeah.
That's his left hand, yep.
So
that'd be his grenade hand.
His grenade hand. Excellent.
You throw grenades with your left hand in Halo.
Yep. Well, you don't want the grenades getting all, your palms getting all sticky and having the grenades slip out, do you?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a terrible situation. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Exactly. So
is that a normal thing, though? I mean, if... Rusky just points out, but that's...
Dude,
is that like a console-type thing?
I was watching Evo, the fighting game championships, I think it was last weekend. And yeah, man, there were guys who like had all kinds of crazy stuff. They had like weird gloves on their joystick hand and stuff. Like they might... there was one guy who had this like specially designed gaming glove, and they all have these like crazy big-ass arcade stick things that sit on their laps. And he even had this arrangement using like a flag to like mask so the person sitting next to him couldn't see what his hands were doing on his.
Right.
Seriously, man. People take this, you know, to the next level.
I don't think it's as widely done in Halo or console gaming as much. The whole gloves thing. Some people, I think it's just a personal preference, but not really big in Halo. The big thing for Halo is bringing your own controller.
Yeah, plainly.
Because brand new controllers like definitely have a different feel to them than used controllers, and after you use a controller so much, you get used to how it moves and how the sticks move. So the biggest thing for console gaming is having your own personal controller to play.
Did you play GoldenEye back in the day on the N64?
I did a little bit. I didn't play it that extensively, though.
That was
though.
Serious about how you're in controller, because like the N64 sticks, they ground down, and like after a while, like the N64 controllers get really grindy. So you know, if you were going around to your friend's house with like some serious GoldenEye session, you brought your own pad, because otherwise you'd be stuck with like the grindy gammy one that sits in the player 4 slot and no one ever uses. So you know, couldn't have that at all.
Right.
I mean, this is a slight tangent, but it's a little bit on track. But the Xbox One controllers, are they... I mean, presumably you guys haven't had a chance to get your fingers on them yet, but from the images you've seen, are they better or worse for kind of Halo?
So the form factor is very similar. It's slightly different. I think the change isn't going to be that substantial from a... like a first-person shooter standpoint. It looks like it fits a little bit more comfortably. It looks like it's a little bit taller, which for my big hands would actually be a little bit more beneficial.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see maybe two different sizes of controllers, because I know just the wide variety of gamers out there. We have people with small hands, because, I mean, you have kids at the age of 13 playing some games and maybe even younger, and then you have adults playing games with bigger hands. Yeah, so
the one size fits all attitude to like gaming controllers is pretty weird if you think about it.
It is. But I, from what I've seen and from what we've heard from people in the industry, and at least from people that I know personally and I've heard talk about the controllers, it's actually not that big of a change from the Xbox 360 controller to the Xbox One controller. And I think I'll definitely be able to try it out at PAX this year.
Are you going to PAX?
I'm going to Prime, yep.
Oh,
cool. So
nice.
Yep. So I'll be there, hopefully trying out some Xbox stuff there.
Yep.
I don't think there's any Halo, unless they announce another map pack that they'll be like announcing for Halo specifically. They'll be doing the tournament mostly, so I think most of the Halo focus will be on that tournament.
Hmm. But it's a good environment for playing games in.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
So, lots of stuff going on at PAX this year. Unfortunately, the panel that I submitted, the podcasting panel that I did, RTX, did not get accepted.
Ooh, that's a shame. Yes, boo.
PAX Prime is always one of the hardest conventions to get a panel into because of how many people submit for panels, and it's...
Well,
outside of E3, it's one of the biggest conventions.
So over there a couple of years or so ago, and talking to one of the guys from, I think it's Firehouse, is the name of the studio, and he was saying that the best thing you can do if you ever want to come to PAX and you can't afford tickets or can't get tickets, is just submit to do a panel, and that way you get like a reporter's ticket in, and you get treated a little bit better than the average punters. So having a panel at PAX is one of those passes to excellence.
It's hard to get a panel in there these days, though.
Yeah. I imagine. So. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to hearing the stuff that you did at RTX, though.
Yeah, once I get the audio for that, guys, I'll be posting that up on Podtacular. We have a couple of video views as well. The guys over at Griffball have recorded a view with their camera, and then we recorded one with ours. So as soon as we can get that, we will throw it up for you guys.
Nice.
Wrapping up the bulletin stuff, we have another update, of course, for Spartan Ops. So this week is going to be vehicular themed. So we're doing episode 6, mission 3, Need to Know. Episode 8, mission 3 with Lancer. Episode 9, mission 4, Revenge. Episode 10, mission 3, Seize the Power. And episode 10, mission 4, Out the Other. So that is your Spartan Ops matchmaking for this week. And I actually heard that there was a little bit where the Spartan Ops matchmaking wasn't working at all this week.
Was it just because of Comic-Con?
I think there was just something on the back end with the servers that was just kind of, it was a fluke.
nothing to do with people not being around, then everything to do with the hardware not working.
They fixed it since then, so I think everything's back to normal for that. We also have some screenshots that we have, and this week's theme is Assault Rifle. So for everyone on the stream, kind of scrolling through them right now, there's a good few of them in there. Some other ones are kind of funny. A few ones I don't care for too much, but... So you guys know what me and my co-host used to do is pick one of our favorites, and then that ends up being the podcast art theme for the week.
Nice.
Okay. So,
presumably, you can't fake any of these. Like, you can't just sort of grab a screenshot and take out the background and put whatever you want in Photoshop. This is...
These are all taken from in-game.
Right. So So things like the one where the weapon is the same size as the... Spartan is just happens to be captured of a moment of time when a weapon was flying through the air.
So these are like most of these are staged. Like you can go into your own custom game and stage these. But yeah, like the heavy weapons one, that one's just done where you have a AR very close to the camera, and then all the way in the back there's someone
pretending to hold it up.
Yeah. They're in the middle of an They're in the middle of an animation that makes it such a way that it looks like they're holding it up. So yeah, it's perspective.
It's a shame. That would have been like an amazing moment if that just happened to happen.
On a kill cam.
So sometimes that actually, they are just happenstance. It's rare, but they do happen on occasion. my personal favorite, I think, is either Loss, Faceless Hero, Legends in the Dark, or Gunslinging Boss.
I like the Loss one. I like the composition of the Loss one. In fact, the color of it is quite beautiful as well.
There's got a lot going on there.
Faceless Hero, I think the kind of the black and white nature of it, brilliant. It's just...
It's pretty good.
It is. It's an angle of the game that you don't normally get a chance to sort of revel in.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one that you thought? The Legends of the Dark or the...
Gunslinging Boss and Legends in the Dark.
Mm. Actually, one of the ones I'd like... I mean, it's one of the... Had you not told me that these things were stageable, I think Agitation would have been amazing. Like, because if it had just been a screen cap of something that just happened to happen, that would have been just wonderful. But it's spoiled for me now, knowing that people kind of fake this stuff a little bit.
That's Halo art for you, though.
They kind of sculpt just a little bit.
Sculpt their environment in such a way that they come out with some pretty cool screenshots. And if you saw any of the screenshots from Reach, oh my goodness, there were lots and lots of really interesting forge art pieces. Mm. So people would basically take weapons and other building blocks from the forge environment and make these beautiful structures that just like are freaking, you look at them like, how did the person even come up with the idea or visualize this into something within the confines of the system of Forge? So it's definitely one of those things that was just mind-blowing. And these screenshots, mostly the ones from week to week, are pretty good. One at the bottom, Triumph Reclaimed Halo, he has a lot of good screenshots.
I see. I've just clicked on them and downloaded the actual files themselves, and in their full definition glory, they are gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Taking it back to what I know, though, I'm just thinking, man, so you get the models in Source Filmmaker. I bet you could get the other assets in, like get the levels and the skyboxes. And once you had, say, this in, say, Source Filmmaker, you could start messing around with the lighting and having complete control over that stuff.
I'll tell you what, though, if in any way this comes into, I mean, I know that you say you put it on your artwork for the week, but I think that the Faceless Hero, blowing that up to full screen and just examining it, that is something I want to have on my desktop. That is my wallpaper. That is gorgeous.
A lot of these work for wallpapers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I actually have a set of wallpapers that I have running through as my background. So every 30 seconds, I have Windows 7 change wallpapers. And
brilliant.
Some of them are from some of these screenshots.
I think I'm going to start doing the same thing. That's gorgeous. But anyway, my vote goes on Faceless Hero.
Sweet. I think we have a pie dot for the week.
Let's go with it.
Last thing for the bulletin this week is AGL 8 is happening this weekend, Arena Gaming League. And they're back in Knoxville, I believe. Kind of offbeat a little bit because there is San Diego Comic-Con going this week, so if you do have a chance to drop by the stream, definitely go over, check them out if you're not at San Diego Comic-Con. And if you are at San Diego Comic-Con, then have fun. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, hugely jealous.
But definitely go over and check out the streams over on AGL.
Cool.
So a couple other things that have been released on Waypoint this week. Of course, we have the Initiation comic that which we mentioned a little bit earlier. Mm. That's actually coming out on August 14th.
That is a thing of incredible beauty as well.
It's pretty nice. There is a 7-page digital preview available from Dark Horse Comics. So if you go to the Waypoint blog right now, one of the recent articles, it's the first or second recent headline news, but you go over there, it has an entry for the Initiation comic preview, and then you can go over and check it out. Pretty well done. Typical comic format, I think. I'm not huge into comics, so it seems pretty typical of what I've seen in terms of comics that I've looked at.
Yeah, it looks very similar to the sort of stuff that gets produced for, dare I say, I mean, I know I'm going to be like a one-trick pony at this point, but it's looking a lot like the kind of stuff that gets done for Valve. More the super serious stuff that you'd expect to see in Left 4 Dead than the ridiculous nature of the things that appear in Team Fortress 2. But this is a real comic.
I'm going to throw it out there that that cover image makes no sense to me. Like, what is happening at this point? Okay, so she's decided to sit down in the middle of a fight, but she's still wielding two guns, like, in a combat... Like, you can't be combat ready and having a bit of a sit down. Maybe she was taking a break, and then she noticed some of these dead dudes on the floor were moving around, so then she starts picking up her guns.
Possibly. But
it seems a little unlikely, right? I mean, if you're wielding guns like that, I think you're standing up. I'm not convinced.
Not convinced. maybe she was stood
so,
up.
If you knew who she was, then it'd probably be a little bit more impactful. But she's basically the leader of the Spartan Force on the UNSC Infinity, which is the ship that went and was deployed to the planet Requiem, which was where Halo 4 takes place. So she's basically one of the leading commanders of the Spartan Force.
And has she been on a very long walk, so she needs to sit down?
Well, this is actually before then. So this is... Initiation is actually the story behind the creation of the Spartan 4 project, which she eventually becomes one. So this is her as an ODST, which is...
So yeah, they're not as powerful as Spartans. So maybe they do need to sit down in the middle of a fight.
You're not going to let that drop, are you?
Well, it's just so, like, you've got the upper body in the dramatic combat pose, the lower body sitting down, maybe having a cup of tea.
There's no cups of tea there.
There could be,
though. There's no implication whatsoever that there is tea being served on a rock nearby.
But why is she sitting down in the middle of a firefight?
Maybe her shoelace was undone.
Look at all the dead bodies. I think they're already dead, and she's just like sitting down after exterminating an entire fleet.
Then with the two guns, she's got them out. So is she then sitting down and covering them while she's having a break, thinking, I'm going to sit down and have a rest now. But if any of you guys move, I'm totally going to shoot you some more.
Possibly. Why not?
Seems a little unlikely. But, well, you know.
It's war. Unlikely things happen.
But I'm trying to work, is she like, maybe she's come in from left of scene and she's like sliding down and...
You are overanalyzing this way too much. Even I'm not overly analyzing it that much.
I'll let it slide. I'll suspend the disbelief.
But definitely go over and check out the first few pages of the comic. Looks like it's going to be turning into a very interesting one at that. We start out with a UNSC admiral going through his time through, well, I guess for you guys, I'm not sure how much of this is going to ring bells to you, but one of the admirals in the comic was part of the original Spartan 2 program, and he's basically explaining to some of the other guys in this board of other probably admirals and high-ranking officials of why they need more Spartans. So that's how it starts out. And then there's another section in there which is kind of transitions over to some current ODSTs deploying. And Spartan Palmer is one of the... Or in the current day, not Spartan Palmer, is one of those ODSTs that are dropping. And then there's kind of a merge where that one admiral is looking at the ODSTs. And it's basically the start of, okay, they're going to be using ODSTs to integrate into this new Spartan program. So that's kind of the initial premise of the comic from at least what I got from the first seven pages. So it's going to be an interesting read. I'm looking forward to it. Comes out in 4 weeks, so definitely be ready to purchase that. I think it's just digital download across the board, so you can get it on
It's available probably on the Android
iOS
and
app. Yeah. And Android, and probably Kindle. I would assume it would be on the Kindle store as well. So,
you name it.
Wait, they have color Kindles these days. I was thinking, what, like in black and white? My wife has a Kindle.
Yeah, they have color Kindles now.
I'm not sure that'd look amazing on a Kindle.
Probably not a Kindle Classic, no.
No, I'm guessing not. Okay.
No.
Is this a completely different... Is this a whole standalone story? Or does this actually become part of the canon?
So, it's part of the canon. It's basically, if you think of how the books integrate with the current storyline, this is something that integrates very closely with Halo 4.
Mm.
So it's actually kind of interesting how they're doing this right now, because you have Halo 4, which is, you currently have the Spartan 4 program in there, and it's completely integrated now into Master Chief's storyline, and they're kind of building out from that backwards away. So the Spartan Assault, which is out now, is kind of covering more.
An opportunity to clear up something that I don't understand. Okay, Master Chief. Which one of those is a title and which one is a name?
Both.
So his military rank
is Master Chief.
It's definitely a guy.
Yeah.
It is definitely a dude.
It's not like the Pyro that, you know, it's definitely a guy. Okay. Okay, his rank is
Master Chief.
His rank is Master Chief.
Yeah.
That sounds like two ranks to me.
Really? You're having this conversation now?
Yeah, why not? This is like this is to the outsider, you know.
Okay, this is not like the US military.
No.
It's not like it's not the Navy.
Okay,
US
if Master
military.
Chief is just his title, like he's the master of all the chiefs, sure. I'm willing to go along with that. What's his name then? Is he like Jeff?
John.
It's John. John. Yeah.
Oh, he's actually called John.
Hmm. His real name's John, but everyone calls him Master Chief.
wasn't he born with a different name or something?
My wife is shouting at me in the background because she knows this, and she's like, "How do you not know this?" And I'm like, I've never encountered this. I'm going to get mocked after this podcast now. God damn it!
We need to get
Rescue's wife.
Sorry, wife on the show next time. Apparently, she knows more Halo than Rescue does.
I find that entirely plausible. Okay, so why is he always referred to as Master Chief then? Because isn't that like referring to someone as, say, Colonel? And if you had like the star of an entire series just being called Colonel, that'd be a bit weird, right?
So you have Red vs. Blue series where Sarge is always referred to as Sarge.
Yeah, but that's different. That's like in the kind of Full Metal Jacket. No, it's in the kind of Full Metal Jacket attitude. It's like, hey, Sarge! But like Master Chief travels around the universe. Like Master Chief will turn up places and people will be like, holy crap, it's Master Chief. But there've got to be lots of different Master Chiefs. So how do they know it's the right one?
But he is the Master Chief.
But there's lots of them. So surely he's a Master
Chief.
There
are a lot of Master Chiefs, but he is the Master Chief.
Man, the other Master Chiefs must be really pissed off. They finally attained the rank of Master Chief. And they're like, yeah, sure, you're all right, but you're not the...
Master Chief.
What's the rank above Master Chief?
I don't know.
But, I mean, also, here's one for you. Master Chief is never going to get promoted, because if he then became, I don't know, Colonel Chief, then they'd be like, oh, it's Colonel Chief. Not sure that quite sounds
everyone
right.
Everyone calls him Master Chief.
What if he gets demoted? Like, what if he's just called Master Private? Apparently, it's a petty officer.
I can actually hear you shouting that in the background. It's brilliant.
My wife's in a computer games too. She knows about stuff. What can I say?
It would definitely be a big change if he got promoted in the franchise.
So his full name is Master Chief Petty Officer.
That's his current rank. People didn't go in
the second half. It was like, oh, thank the stars, Petty Officer is here. Sounds like a My Little Pony or something. Yeah, we should probably carry on.
Well, now you've stomped all over the Halo franchise.
No, it's cool. It's cool. His full rank is Master Chief Petty Officer, but he goes by Master Chief, and it's one of those names that just sticks.
What if people just went for the middle? So they were like, ah, thanks to stars, Chief Petty is here. Hey there, Petty. How's it going?
I don't think that has much of a ring to it as Master Chief does.
No. I don't think that I'd carry it quite as well. I'll give you that one. Clearly, these plot writers, they know their job. Well done.
Master Chief's my father's name. You can call me Petty.
This isn't a great example, but if you think of The Godfather, there are lots of Godfathers, but there is The Godfather in the movie, so...
Yeah,
it's a similar thing. You have the Master Chief in Halo, even though he's one among many Master Chief Petty Officers.
Right.
That actually is a good analogy.
I actually never knew that. Thank you for enlightening me.
Analogy turned out a lot better than I thought it would. So we were talking about how kind of in Halo 4 you already have the culmination of the Spartan 4 program, and it's been 343 has kind of been going a little bit backwards building up to this story. So right now Halo Spartan Assault is out, and that actually goes through the career of Spartan Palmer being a Spartan 4 and building up to her time going into service on the Infinity. And then you're going to have the comic come out, the initiation comic, which is going to be, you see her as an ODST become a Spartan IV.
How much so of her kind of life going are backwards. They covering? Are they doing everything from her childhood?
I don't think they're going to go as far back as her childhood. If they do, I think that would be a little too much for...
That always struck me as an opportunity, though. I mean, the story of their childhood and how they were basically abducted and forced into the program was right. That's gold. That's like that's Smallville kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Why hasn't there been a series of this?
So, I've had a few discussions with a lot of other prominent Halo people that are really into the fiction of Halo. And for the Halo universe, it's kind of like you don't necessarily want to duplicate efforts. So a lot of the stuff regarding the Chief you wanted to keep in the games, and a lot of the fiction from the outside, you want to have it cover a lot of things that aren't going into the game but are definite complements to it. So right now you have the Kilo 5 trilogy, which is actually the connections between Halo 3 and Halo 4 with the kind of the quelling of the Human Covenant War, what's going on St. Helios, which is the native planet, or it's one of the home planets for the St. Heli or elites. Mm. And then what's going on within Oni and the UNSC between this time between Halo 3 and Halo 4. The books for Onyx, that was kind of a connection between Halo 1 and Halo 2. You have some other books that tell some other storylines from other aspects of the universe. So you don't, for the Halo universe, you don't want too much of an overlap of efforts between the books, the games, and now what's kind of really turning out to be the TV series and the comics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This picture we have up now, this is much more convincing because I can completely relate to what's going on there. This dude's been walking along, and he just got up on that rock.
That's not a dude. That's a girl.
That's a girl.
Well, dude,
that's
can be a guy or a girl. Dude just refers to this dude, whoever, you know, this guy.
Right.
It's not gender specific. But they're just standing on this rock and going, "Damn, that's a good view." Don't see that every day. You know, that makes sense.
That's during,
actually, that's not a very good view. That's a very frightening view.
That's well, kind yeah, of but it's pretty amazing. It's not the kind of thing that you know.
It's amazing, but to see 6 Covenant Capital ships coming toward you, that's pretty scary.
Well, at that point, you kind of wonder why you're on the rock, because you're really just giving your position away.
Well, maybe she should be running like hell. Well, you don't know what, like, maybe the camera is like on a big rock face, so she's not like silhouetted against the background or anything.
Hmm. I still think it's not great, unless you're that cocksure of your own.
It wouldn't look as good if she was like just peeking from behind the rock in a quite timid fashion. Well, maybe it would. Yeah. You know,
no.
Different.
No. But yeah, this is the cover art they've been having for Spartan Assault for a while now. And it's Spartan Palmer standing on a rock, basically awaiting the Covenant invasion. I don't know where this takes place yet, because I haven't played the game, to be honest. Not yet. It just came out yesterday, and I got to install Windows 8 on the computer that I have. So I'll be playing it a little bit this weekend, though.
So all these Spartans, Spartan Palmer and Spartan Davis, they get the suffix of Spartan, right?
Yes.
But when you get to a certain rank in the Spartans, you drop the Spartan suffix.
So Spartans don't have ranks, no. Really.
Isn't Spartans Master Chief is Spartan?
Yes, Master Chief is a Spartan.
It's not Spartan Master Chief.
No, but Spartan is not a rank. Spartan is just like
it's your thing.
A certain service. So it's like
you get some badass armor, right?
The ODSTs.
It's more than that.
Yeah, you do get pretty cool armor. You get the most advanced technology that the UNSC has to offer. But Spartans are not ranks. They're just like another, like you have brigades and you have combat units and all that stuff. It's just basically another one of those.
Oh.
So you still have a military rank.
Oh, I thought like Spartan. Like, I always assumed that Spartan was some kind of like enhanced soldier. But is it just like a...
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They are.
Like,
They're genetically modified.
Yeah, space marines.
And all that stuff.
It's like
from
a tribe.
The Warhammer universe.
It's like a tribe.
Yeah. It's just kind of gone through a whole bunch of enhancements in order to they were already superior. But then they were modified to become... Even
so
more superior.
They didn't necessarily start out superior, but like the original Spartan 2 program, there was a certain genetic profile that was among like the top that needed to be there before they could start experimenting on kids.
Which is kind of nasty.
Yeah. That's one of the premises behind the comic Halo Initiation and behind a few things in Halo 4. The opening cutscene is an interrogation of Dr. Halsey about using kids to create Spartans and all the physiological and sociological side effects that that has had on them, even though they were the saving grace of humanity in the Human Covenant War. So there's a subtle underlying plot there.
Blurred moralities and stuff.
Good stuff, that.
Yeah. And it's kind of talked about a little bit within the books. There's some slight hints of it in the comics. It's not something that's like hugely discussed, but it's something that's a persistent recurrence within the Halo universe.
It's a hard thing to talk about just talking about it now when we're just talking about a fiction, but when characters within that universe are reluctant to get involved in the conversation, you know.
Yep. So that covers all the things that were from Halo Waypoint essentially this week. San Diego Comic-Con, we're going to have a few more things come out of that. Of course, Spartan Assault was released, so go play that if you have a Windows 8 phone, tablet, or PC. For those that do, it's going to be rather limited. There was another thing that came out this week, and that was the announcements for the achievements for the championship bundle. So I'm going to pull those up real quick. So the achievements are protect this house in matchmaking, assassinate the ball carrier within 5 meters of their own goal and ricochet, and that is going to be for 30 gamer score. You have hat trick, which, okay, this is one thing I personally don't get, is why have the offset gamer score? But that's another discussion.
For people who actually know what you're talking about.
So most achievements are in multiples of 5.
Right.
And for some reason, developers every now and then like to throw these odd ones in. So like this one, hat trick is worth 33 gamer score.
Right.
So it's always odd just to see an off-numbered gamer score.
Yeah, I see that now. Well, yeah. Does that not just mean like the whole thing totals up to a number that is like 1,000 divided by all?
Yeah, the whole thing does. Like if you get all the achievements, it does add up to a even 5 or 0 number. But if you have one of these and aren't able to get another one that helps balance that out, then it's like, what the heck?
Yeah. You've just got like 3 knocking about somewhere. But there's another one down here for 27. So, you know, you're good on that front, right?
Yeah, so it balances out between one other achievement. But we'll get to that one here in a second. So, hat trick and matchmaking score 3 times in 1 round of ricochet. From downtown is the third one. It's for 25 gamer score, and it's in matchmaking score by throwing the ball from 30 meters in ricochet. So, for you guys on here, ricochet is a new game type where it's a kind of a merge between regular Halo and another game type called Griffball.
Okay.
And what you basically do is it's kind of like rugby in a way where you can carry the ball into a goal or you can throw the ball into a goal.
Yeah.
And that's how you score, is by getting the ball into a goal. So
presumably all sorts of weapons are also going on at the same time, and when you're carrying the ball, you can't shoot a weapon.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that in a lot of different games, but yeah.
Yep. Next one is repeat survivor. 25 gamer score in matchmaking. Survive 3 vehicle explosions in a row with a survivor package. Survivor is one of the new armor mods that is going to be made available.
Nice.
Can't catch me. 20 gamer score in matchmaking. Score a goal in ricochet while taking damage with the resistor active. Resistor is another one of the armor mods. Just a scratch. In matchmaking, recover full shields from low health with both resistor and recharge active. Pitching a tent. 40 gamer score. In matchmaking, effectively camp one location without dying for a full 50 seconds.
Sorry. Pitching a tent.
It's a legitimate strategy.
Well, pitching a tent is considered to be a legitimate strategy.
So there's a shirt.
Is it related to camping?
Yes.
Obviously.
It is. Yeah, obviously. You know,
Yeah, there is a shirt, and it's from the guys over at Rooster Teeth that make Red vs. Blue, and it's literally a tent with a campfire and a camping stool and a sniper rifle peeking out the front, and the words "it's a legitimate strategy" on the bottom.
Right.
It's one of my favorite shirts, personally. Next one is One Man Army for 27 gamer scores. So that's the one that matches that 33 on the other side. In matchmaking, get 4 consecutive kills with the rocket launcher without dying. Next one is Shocking, 10 gamer score. In Bullseye DLC matchmaking, activate both electrical surge systems during a match on Vertigo. And then the last one is Got It for 20 gamer score. In Bullseye DLC matchmaking, acquire the rocket launcher at the start of a match on Pitfall.
So presumably matchmaking is something, the reason they got matchmaking in there is so that you can't just farm these. So it's got to be a game that you
correct
haven't just sort of shown up with all your mates on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's done in such a way that you can't boost them that easily. You have to go into matchmaking and do them.
Actually do them actively. And, one of the things that TF2... Okay, sorry for bringing it back to TF2, but with their achievements...
No, it's fine.
They always try to pitch achievements and... not necessarily achievements, but actually they would teach a player how to play a game by incentivizing them either with achievements or with weapons that only work or work better if they're played in a certain way. So these achievements just fun stuff to do. Or would you come across them naturally if you were playing the game, if you were playing Ricochet, the way that Ricochet is best played?
So there's, I want to say there's probably about half and half, if not maybe tilted a little bit more towards the fun aspect
right.
of being able to just pick them up randomly in matchmaking.
Okay.
So like the From Downtown, score by throwing a ball from 30 meters. That's one of the ones that you would probably likely come by in regular play. Score 3 times in 1 round of Ricochet. That's something else that might just, if you're one of the people that just runs the ball throughout the whole game, like if you're the one that just happens to be there for picking up the ball and have the ability to run it in every time, that might be something you just randomly pick up.
Yeah.
Assassinating the ball carrier within 5 meters of a goal, that's something, another thing that would be another thing that would not necessarily happen often, but it could likely happen.
Yeah. I mean, all of these things are not impossible. Even, what is it, the pitching
right.
a tent thing. It's not impossible. It seems a little bit of a strange thing to reward people for that more than anything else. Since that gets 40 gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 40 gamers points or 40 gamers score?
Gamer score,
gamer
yep.
score. So 40 gamers score is for camping, basically.
exactly. So 343 yeah. condones camping.
Yeah,
encouraging
pretty much.
That kind of thing, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
I guess. That's... Yeah, so that totals up to 250 gamer score. So there's currently... I forget how many... I think the current gamer score you can get with Halo is 1750. I'm checking real quick on my Xbox. So
well, because that's what you happen to have. Let me check. Let me check my score. It's the highest possible score is my score. And it's, yeah.
I'm missing 2 achievements right now.
It's 35. So you know. Yeah.
But yeah, so you can currently get 1750 gamer score. So after this bundle, you can get a total of 2000.
Nice. A nice
game,
round 2000.
Yep. Nice round 2000. Not 33, not 27, 2000. There was a while that I had one of those odd achievements on my gamer card.
Yep.
And I balanced it out at some point. I don't remember when.
Did you do it deliberately?
Yeah, they're kind of like one of those just little annoyances that it's really doesn't mean that much, but for someone that likes achievements and likes seeing those even numbers,
yep.
it's really a bother.
Drive you mad after a while.
Yeah, it does. So that pretty much wraps it up for our Halo stuff for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in that did to hear the Chris Gass guys talk about TF2. I know we kind of covered a lot of stuff from the first little bit. For those listening after the fact, you probably aren't getting everything
you're
that
like
we talked
a
about.
A minute, 2 minutes worth of... Like,
it was
musky to
that.
TF2.
I'm not cutting that
well,
much out.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
That's
I'm not cutting that much out.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, you should kill it. I mean, not necessarily in terms of Rusky, but yeah, that was That was taking off topic into a whole new realm.
That's a lot of what Chris Cast is about, though.
Yeah, it is. Topic.
There was one time we managed to talk for a long period about cheese.
What did we? I don't recall the cheese episode.
Like,
was
different
I there?
Types of tasty cheeses.
Yes,
not
no,
like,
I was
not
there.
Not like anything game related. Not anything game related.
Absolutely
just
nothing whatsoever to do with gaming.
Types of cheese to eat.
Yeah. The flavor, the smell, the way that it hangs upon the tongue and the after. Oh my God, I'm thinking about cheese again.
I love cheese.
Love cheese. I've run out of cheese. I ran out of cheese this morning.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cheesy.
Too
all right.
True.
So that wraps up the show for us today, guys. Thanks again for tuning in for those that were here on the live stream and from those who came over from the land of Critcast. Thanks for tuning in and listening to this somewhat different cast that's normally that we do.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having us on.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you for inviting us on to be on the podcast network. We really appreciate it. It's definitely cool. Had a fun time over on Critcast.
Welcome back anytime.
If you have any Halo players over there, definitely send them our way.
Absolutely.
All right. In the meantime, guys, you can check us out on our homepage, podtacular.com. While you're there, send us some feedback. Send us any questions or comments you have from this show, anything that we talked about, whether it be the comic, the championship, the Spartan Assault game. Any questions or comments that you guys have about anything that we've discussed in the past, definitely send it to us. You can do that with our submit button at the top of our website. It's big, green, kind of hard to miss. Or you can just shoot us an email directly. You can do that by sending an email to submissions@podtacular.com. Or if you want your voice actually heard on the show, you can call our listener voicemail. And that one's 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And leave a message about 60 to 90 seconds long. That's kind of what we'd like to see on the podcast. Not too short, not too long. You can also check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and, of course, on Twitch, where we live stream our shows every week. All those are /PodTacular, except for YouTube, which is /PodTacTV. So definitely check those out. That's where we put out most of our updates on Twitter. So make sure you subscribe or follow us on Twitter. That's the one place where you can get like up-to-date stuff on everything PodTacular. We also have some RTX photos that we've been posting up on our Facebook page. So if you have not seen any of the photos yet, definitely go over there and check it out. Right now, I have about halfway through day 2 completely posted. And by the end of this weekend, everything will be posted from RTX. So lots of Griffball photos, lots of Halo 4 Championship photos that happened at RTX. Other photos from just around the convention are up there as well. So definitely check it out if you have the time. Shout outs to Griffball Hub. We also have a Griffball team now, kind of repping PodTacular in a way. So myself, Brent, Halo Fan for Life, Ace of Space Card, and Jack Fire Dragon are all part of a Griffball team. So we're trying our hand at Griffball for this summer GGL season. So make sure you go and root for us. We'll be streaming most of the games that we play. So if you're into the Griffball scene at all and want to support us, definitely check out our streams. We'll be tweeting those out whenever those go live. Speaking of streams, we have our game nights that we do on a weekly basis. We have Wacky Wednesday, which happens every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we Monday Night Matchmaking is kind of on hold right now because of the Halo 4 Global Championship. So after that, I think is when we'll see the return of matchmaking. We did see Legendary Slayer come out this week, so we are aware that they are still doing updates to matchmaking, but because of the championship, we want to let you guys get the most time on doing and participating in the championship that you want. So good luck to anyone that is deciding to participate, and definitely go play some games in there. I know it's not everyone's forte to go play FFA games. I know it's definitely not mine. I'm more of a team player, but just play to go and enter in for those weekly drawings, because the weekly drawings are pretty cool. The fact that you can get some of the avatar armors and there's some other games in here that they're giving away is pretty special. Aside from that, we have a donation button on our homepage. So we do this podcast for free. We don't do any advertising of any kind right now. So we do this out of the goodness out of our hearts for you guys. But for those of you who want to give back to the community and to the podcast, we would appreciate any donations that you'd be willing to send our way. So you can go to our homepage and find the donate button there, and you can submit that money securely through PayPal.
Nice.
With that said, schedule a podcast for the next 3 weeks. Our next podcast is going to be a discussion on the book Cryptum. That is the first Greg Bear novel that goes a little bit into detail behind the Forerunners and the Didact. So if you have not been reading that book, now's the time to pick it up and read it before we spoil everything for you. So check that out for that week. The following week, we're going to be having our Spartan Assault podcast. That'll give us enough time to, or at least give me enough time to hopefully complete the game and give our feedback on it. So the following week, we'll have our Spartan Assault podcast. And then the week following, we're going to have the guys from Guardians of Destiny, Guardian Radio, come on the show and give us a little rundown on Destiny, the newest game from Bungie. So that is our schedule for the next 3 weeks. So plan accordingly and submit your stuff. We want to hear from you guys. We want to have questions from the community kind of permeate throughout all the podcasts. So definitely send us stuff in via Twitter, via email, any way you feel like doing it. And we would appreciate it. I wanted to give one last shout out to the guys over at Critscast for coming on the show and staying it out for the 2 hours that we've almost been on the call. Well, yeah, 2 hours that we've been doing the show, actually. So thank you again, guys, for dealing with the Halo stuff.
Certainly our pleasure. Right. Thank you very much for putting up with us.
Another corner of the internet and first person game.
Yay. And next time we'll have Rusky's wife on, maybe, because it seems like she knows a little bit more about Halo.
Yep, I bet it does.
But we'll see.
So, you can check those guys out over at critscast.com. They also have Twitter, they have YouTube, and they also broadcast their shows regularly on Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Ish.
Is that right?
Yeah, around about then.
Ish.
That's when we're due
Eastern,
to do it if we go live-ish.
7 o'clock.
It's sometimes sort of
was it
sort of
GBR? What's your time zone?
BST.
BST. British Standard Time.
Time zone jumps around because England is silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
broken.
Tis a silly place.
Exactly.
Let's not go
like
there.
Like Camelot.
Yeah.
don't go there. It's a silly place.
All right.
That nice around.
Yep. Alright guys, thanks again for tuning in. We are out for this week. We will be returning to our regularly scheduled shows Thursdays at 8 next week. So until then, keep on fragging. I want to say TF2, just because you guys are here.
Wear some hats.
Don't have
keep on fragging hats.
Yeah.